Thank you, Brother Albert. Good morning to all of you. Bless you in the name of Jesus. All right, we're going to, as usual, going to read a portion of the scripture, and I'm going to deliver a sermon from that scripture. And today's text is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37. Please, if you have the Bible, please turn to Ezekiel 37. We'll read the whole chapter. Are you there on the page? Yeah, good, thank you. All right, let's read Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can those bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to this bone and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to this bone, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus say the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus say the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and perform it, says the Lord. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. Then join them, one to another, for yourself in one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, will you not show us what you mean by this? Say to them, thus says the Lord, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companion, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Thus say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their gods, idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression, but I will deliver them from all their dwellings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land, that I've given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children, forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst forever. By my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nation also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. It is an encouragement, great encouragement to the people of Israel. And this morning, I want to use this passage to apply it for our church life and for the people of God, that they may be encouraged and motivated, and they will look to you, Lord, for good things. You are God who is faithful, who look after your children. Lord, you have our best interests. And so this morning, whatever that we are facing, Lord, you are going to come and intervene in their life to bring forth breakthrough. So Lord, let the faith of the people be lifted up, because as I read your word, I read in faith. And as I read your word, Lord, this word of God be dispensed into the hearts of the people. And may it bring forth faith and courage, and that they are going to see, Lord, breakthrough in their life. So Holy Spirit, this word will be empty without your anointing. And so I yearn and I ask for your anointing to be upon me to speak your word in a powerful and anointed way, that the people will hear and receive, and that they will be motivated, they will be encouraged, and they will be lifted up. And when they see you, that you demonstrate the glory in their life, that they will look to you and give you all the praise and the glory. So this morning, let this word encourage and glorify the Father and the Son in the name of your Son, Jesus. And God's people say, Amen. Now, today is the second Sunday of the new year, 2018. Last week, for those who are not here, I spoke a new year message that tried to encourage all of us as we enter into 2018. And there are six attitudes that I took from Psalms 37 to encourage all of you. I'm not going to repeat them, but if you think that you may want to hear this message, please order a copy from one of the leaders. Because Brother Justin is not around, but just order it through one of the leaders, and when he comes back, we'll make arrangement for that to be copied for you. But today, I'm going to continue with another message of encouragement. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a prophetic declaration for all of us, for this church, for you personally, in faith, for the year 2018. I'm going to entitle this morning's message as a 2018 prophetic declaration for Zionites and all present here. Now, the text is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37. And first, I need to give an explanation of this prophecy in Ezekiel 37. Now, God gave a prophecy to the prophet Ezekiel during the year there about 580 years before Christ. Now, the visions of the valley and the dry bones has to do with the rebirth of the nation of Israel and the restoration of their homeland. Could I have the first point, please? So, this Ezekiel 37 prophecy will unfold in two stages in history. And in this passage, Ezekiel was transported in the vision to a valley full of dry bones. And God directed him to prophesy to these dry bones. And Ezekiel obeyed, and the bones came together, and flesh developed, and skin covered the flesh. And there was still no breath in life in these bones. And so, stage one prophecy can be interpreted this way. Now, this Israelite, the Israelite depicted by the dry bones, will be brought together as a nation and restored to their homeland. And this is a prophecy up to verse 8. Now, at this stage, there is still no breath in them. In other words, at this juncture, they are, though they are physically restored, But the nation is still spiritually dead, which means to say that they are not saved in Christ Jesus. And the stage two of the prophecy is, God then commanded Ezekiel to prophesy breath into them. And this skeleton then stood up alive as an army. Now this means that later on, just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus, Israel as a nation will turn to Jesus, and the whole nation will receive Him as the Messiah and Savior. That means they will be restored spiritually. And then they will be freed from all kinds of idolatry and be united as one people. Now, they were not one people before. In the history, during the time of Ezekiel, the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, is called Israel. And the southern kingdom, Judah, and the tribe of Benjamin is called Judah. And so they were divided. They were in idolatry. But Ezekiel prophesies that there will be a day when they will be united and they will be free from all idolatry. And they will later come under the king, the rule of King David, after Jesus' second coming, when Christ is going to establish His 1,000-year rule on this planet Earth. And that is coming. And so, stage one prophecy has already been fulfilled in history. And the question is, in what way? Now, there was a period of about 1,900 years when Israel was dead as a nation after the Roman invasion in AD 70. And because the Jews were actually dispersed throughout the world, they were persecuted and they were deprived of their land, homeland. And then came the Holocaust period in the World War II, 1939 to 1945, where 6 billion Jews were actually Mexico. It's a huge number. The population of Perth is about 2 million. So we are talking about the whole metropolitan population of Perth, three times that number. 6 million Jews were massacred, were killed. So, like this unburied skeleton, the Israelites then were in a state of living death, scattered all over the world and spiritually dead like dry bones, without any hope, future, or a homeland. And having been brought to the brink of this extinction by the horrors of the Holocaust, they continue to face persecution around the world. Then God orchestrated a miracle in 1947 and 1948. And in 1947, the United Nations passed a resolution calling for Palestine to be partitioned between the Arabs and the Jews and allowing the formation of the Jewish state. And a year later, May 14, 1948, the Jewish state of Israel was officially rebirthed. And therefore, stage one was fulfilled when Israel became a nation and given a land as foretold in the Ezekiel 37 prophecy. And if you go to Israel today, you go to the Holocaust Museum, and as you about to enter the museum, I'm not too sure when you enter, when you come out of the museum, I was there many years ago, you can see that on top there was a concrete slab, and a couple of verses of Ezekiel 37 was inscribed on the concrete slab, because this was prophecy fulfilled. And so, stage two will be fulfilled when Jesus comes back in His second coming. And so with this passage, I'm going to draw some key principles and apply them for our prophetic declaration. Ezekiel 37 is one of the most shocking prophecies and visions of the Old Testament. The prophet was sent to prophesy in a graveyard. What a sight! And he was taken by the hand of the Lord to a large open valley full of dry bone. And in a vision, the scene was very weird, very scary, and very gruesome. And then the Lord asked the prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel did not know the answer. And so he replied, "Lord God, you know." And then the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to this bone and say to the bone, surely I will cause breath to enter into them and they shall live." And so the whole place was chaotic.
And there was an indiscriminate mass of the scattered dry bones, and nothing could be more gloomier, lifeless and hopeless for these dry bones. It looks like this is final. It is finished and over. And Ezekiel must be thinking, God, what are you doing? Bringing me to a graveyard. And then the Lord speaks and challenges the impossible. Can these bones live? In the natural, it is impossible. In the logical, this is beyond help. And in the rational world, there is no hope. And you cannot deny reality. You can put your head in the sand, but it doesn't change the reality of the situation. You can deny what is happening, but it doesn't change the position. You can make every positive confession, but it doesn't change the present reality. You can hire a spin professional like the politician to make a bad situation sound good, but you cannot deny reality. And so, here is the good news. And when you bring God into the equation and picture, the reality that you see is not the finality. The present reality is subject to change. Chaos can become order. Weakness can become strength. Death can become life. And defeat can become victory. We cannot deny reality, but with God, reality is never the finality. It is God who has the last word. It is God who makes the final move. And God likes to do the suddenly in the last hour. The initial gloomy scenes are not discouraging as it seems, because the skeletons have become soldiers. Death is transformed into life. And the bones have become a vast army. Past defeat has been turned into a future victory. And sometimes in our life, we have pain and sorrow. And in our life, we stand in the graveyard of past defeat, deep in despair and gloom. Today, you may stand where Ezekiel stood. Some relationships are fractured and fragmented. And there is a strong sense of hopelessness and helplessness. For some situation, you may be facing that appears to be no way out. In your personal life, there is discouragement and disappointment. In your spiritual life, you hope so much, but it has not materialized. In ministry, you have your vision and dreams, but now they seem to fade away. But with God, the graveyard of past defeat can become the seedbed for future victory. So come with me to the valley. Come and discover some of the secrets of resurrection and rejuvenation. Apply this principle of Ezekiel 37 to rejuvenate your life of faith. And come and discover your miracle, so that in your valley of dry bones, the dead bone can live again. So what is the application for us? Number one, your miracle that you're looking for begins with a prophetic declaration. Ezekiel, you need to speak to the bones. And to do this, you have to change the way you talk. Stop saying, oh no, this is terrible. We will never recover from this again. Never say never in God. Change your words, Ezekiel. You need to hear and speak more of God's word. Because God's word has power. Your spoken words can create faith. And you speak to the dry bone. You speak into the situation. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. He said, how does faith comes by? He said, faith comes by hearing. Not by man's word, by hearing, by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand, they say, the world was framed by the word of God. God spoke and it comes into existence. And therefore, this morning, I'm going to speak forth the word of God to lift up your faith. Three times, God commands Ezekiel to prophesy. First commandments. Prophesy to the bone, verse 4. This means speak to what you see. Speak into the situation that is confronting you. Second time, prophesy to the wind, verse 9. Prophesy to what you cannot see, the invisible. Speak to what you don't see. And then, third time, prophesy to the nation. Speak to the people of God. Speak to the people in the church. Notice that each time, God gave him the words to speak. Prophesy to the bone and say this to them. Prophesy to the breath and say to it. Prophesy to the nation and say. To prophesy is to speak on God's behalf. To prophesy does not have, because prophecy does not have its origin in the will of man, but men speak from God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit. So stop speaking naturally. Start speaking supernaturally. Stop speaking negatively. Start speaking positively. Stop speaking humanly and start speaking heavenly. Stop focusing on what you see in the natural. Start declaring God's word in faith in the supernatural. Stop speaking doubt. Start speaking faith because God's word had power. A few examples. Jesus was woken in the storm. And the seasoned and the professional fishermen were terrified. And Jesus began to speak to the storm. He said, "Peace be still." And the storm stops. His words have power. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days. And all the people say, "Master, now, but by now the body is dead and decaying." Jesus spoke forth, "Lazarus, rise up, come forth." Now you say, because he is Jesus. But then Jesus instructed us in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to verse 24. He says, "Speak to the mountain and be removed and cast into the sea. Believe and doubt not, and it shall be done." This is the instruction from Jesus. And so what do you do when you see the valley of dry bones? So speak to the situation confronting you. Speak to the dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then next, speak to the invisible. Let the wind blow. Speak to the nation, to the people. God would gather you again. This is the power of declaring God's word. Now I have no desire to preach man's word. I do want to bring God's words from the Bible. I have no desire to amuse you with amuse you with flattering words. I do not want to exercise the prophetic, but I want to exercise the prophetic in today's message. I want to stir up your faith and encourage you, but above all, bring God's word to glorify the Lord. Now, when you pray, don't just pray and plea with the Lord. Prophesy, speak out God's word boldly to the situation. So what valley do you stand in? What bones surround you? What impossible situation are you facing? Do you need a miracle? It begins with a declaration. Speak to your life, to your heart, and to your mind, and declare the word of the Lord. Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the blind say, "I can see." And let the poor say, "I am rich." And the situation will start to change. And whenever you speak, it gets magnified in your mind and in your heart. You hear it, you think it, and then you speak it. And you speak the problem, and then it grows. Speak the difficulties, and it increases. But you speak the word of God, and faith grows inside you. I'm not saying that you totally deny the present reality. That is wrong. It is living a life of denial. Do admit the present reality, but do not focus on it. The balance and the right approach will be this. amid your present reality, but go on to say, but in God, my present reality is not the finality. Focus more on God's solution and less on your problem. In other words, speak to the mountain and speak less about your mountain. I need to say a couple of things about prophecy. In the New Testament era, there is a type of prophecy called the word of prophecy. You can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it's speaking forth God's quickening word to bring the now word, the present word, into your situation. And it is for strengthening, for encouraging, and for the comfort of the people. And that is what I'm doing. Your miracle begins with a declaration. And therefore, over this church, I declare in Christ Jesus, though we may be in a valley of dry bones and dry grounds, the dry bones will gather together. The unsaved will seek God. The harvest will come. I speak to the invisible, the breath of God, the wind of God. The breath of God will enter them and quicken the pre-believers. I declare this church will be filled with people and young generation. I speak to the congregation. You will be rejuvenated and revived. Zion Fellowship will advance. The vision and the mission may tarry, but it will surely come to pass. I proclaim that this church will expand its border. I declare that this church will reach out to the nation and will have global influence. I declare this for every Zionite and everyone here. You have a breakthrough in your situation. I speak to your mountain that you're facing, your sickness, your relationship issue, any bondage or problem that you are facing. In Jesus' name, every sickness, every relationship issue, every bondage and problem, they have to bow down to Jesus Christ. Healing, deliverance, salvation shall come upon you. And breakthrough and victory is just round the corner. And praise and glory be unto Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you bring forth these words that was being spoken. You anoint it, and the Spirit is going to hover around whatever situation and circumstances. And when that word is spoken and activated, breakthrough shall come for everyone. Amen. And the second point is this. The miracle, your miracle, requires a yearning that people may come to know Jesus is God and Lord. Listen to the words of prophecy. Notice the focus here. Verse 5 and verse 6. Basically, God is saying, I will put the tendons, the flesh and the skin on you. And I will make breath enter you. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And verse 12 to verse 13. I'm going to open your grave. I'm going to bring you back to the land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am Lord. I have spoken and I have done it. And so here God's view is that he be known that he is God and Lord. And so we must ask God to give us a yearning that when this miracle happens, that people will come to know that Jesus is Lord and God. In other words, the focus of the miracle is God. It's not on the miracle or on man. And a yearning for God to demonstrate his glory, that the people may know him. What is going to happen? It's not going to happen by faith or chance. And people must come to conclude that it must be God. And we need to understand, we live in a humanistic world. New Age will say, release the God that is in you. The psychologists will say, be positive, you can do it. And they have all the self-help, self-talk, and be positive and you can do it. But the self-help, the self-talk, the self-love, the self-advancement, when they stand in the graveyard with scattered dry bones, all the self-help, and those words cannot help them. You need God. You need Jesus to have a miracle. You need to have a yearning for God to touch earth and impart the supernatural. But what do you sit around and do nothing? No. What you can do, God expects us to do. What we can't do, God will do. And that will complete the miracle. Jesus spoke to the paralytic. He said, "You want to be healed?" Then he said, "Take up the bed and walk." And Jesus said to the blind man, "You want to be healed?" He says that you go and wash in the pool of Siloam. God requires them to do their part, and He will do His part to complete the miracle. And we need God's impartations of anointing. We need God to intervene. And therefore we agree with the psalmist in Psalm 20. It says that some trust in chariot and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. We concur with Zechariah. We say, "It is not by might, it is not by the power of man, but by the Spirit of the Lord." We agree with King David when he said to Goliath, you come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And we believe Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain." And we believe Jesus' word, He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Thank you, God, for all the resources that we have, the technology that we have, the computer, the software, the information highway, the teaching and the seminar. But we declare that our primary resource is the Lord. We believe the hand of God that can lift us up. And we believe God can impart faith and bring forth the anointing. Learn all you can. Work all you can. Grow all you can. Do all you can. Here in fellowship, Design Fellowship, we will do everything that we can. We will work, we will believe, we will pray, we will praise, we will study, we will train and equip ourselves. But the bottom line is that we will throw ourselves to the grace and mercy of God and believe Him to touch and to bring forth a miracle. If you need a miracle, keep yearning for God to demonstrate His power and His glory, that all may know that Jesus is Lord and God Almighty. And therefore remember, the focus is not on the miracle, but the focus is back to Jesus, that He will be known as the Lord and the God Almighty. And number three, the miracle requires connection and construction. Verse 7, as Ezekiel was prophesying, there was a noise, rattling sound. It must have been terrifying for Ezekiel. The bones came together, bone to bone. The devil's plan is to separate and to isolate people. Never allow the enemy to isolate you. God's plan is to connect the people together. God's plan is to bond and to build people. The devil's strategy is to dislocate. God wants to integrate. And the devil was so intent not only to kill and destroy, but also to disperse, to bring chaos and confusion. But the declaration brings connection of disparate bones and individual. Have you watched the National Geographic video? Attack of hyena attacking a herd of zebra. Which one do you think they go for? The one that is isolated from the herd or the body. There is safety in being connected as a body in a church. Another example. One of the largest and tallest trees in the world is in the California. Redwood, the giant tree, can grow up to 300 feet over high. Though redwood has a shallow root system, yet they can grow so tall and not fall. Why? If they stand alone, a storm can easily knock them down. But planted together, their root system intertwine and interlock. They hold each other up, and there is strength and security in being interconnected. And also, there are some 200 over bones in the human skeleton. The largest is the thigh bone, and the smallest bone is in the ear. They call it the stapes. Smallest, yet vital for hearing. And so everyone is vital and important. And have you dislocated a bone? It is very painful. If one member is dislocated and refused to integrate, many members suffer with it. Dislocation weakens, but connection empowers. The Bible says that in God, one can chase 1,000, and two can put 10,000 to flight. And so what is this secret of extraordinary power? The power of connection and unity in the church. And here at Zion Fellowship, we value connection and unity. We want the believers to come together, pray together, praise together, shout together, weep together, and we stand together. And we resist the devil's strategy to isolate and to dislocate, bone to bone. The scattered bones coming together, and then disorder became order. The bones came together to their right place. Effectiveness in ministry is to know and to find your place in the body of Christ and cooperating together to fulfill God's will, not your own personal agenda. Not coveting what is not your role. Not trying to do what you are not. Your significance is not doing something great. It is doing what God has called you to do with contentment, and do it with love and joy. The size of your servanthood and love determines your greatness in heaven. There is a place for you at Zion Fellowship, a role for you to fulfill. You are welcome and you are wanted. And so come on board and join the journey. And if you need a miracle, you need to discover the power of connection in a church. And so don't allow distance to affect your decision. Don't allow petty dispute to affect your relationship with one another. Don't allow years of relationship building be brought down to nothing by just one moment of argument or disagreement. Don't allow self-interest to supersede the power of connection and unity in the church. When the bones are put together, it becomes a strong structure of skeleton frame to be filled and strengthened with what? Tendons, flesh and skin. To connection, there needs to be construction, because this will bring beauty and strength to the human frame. And to the structure of skeleton, God wants to add substance and strength. And several times in Paul's writing, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. It is God's knowledge. Knowledge of God's word that will bring substance and strength to our life. It will deliver you from superstition, guards you from error, protects you from deception. It is God's desire to connect you and to construct you. And here in Zion Fellowship, we always feed you with God's word. And if you diligently receive it, and after a long period, you will grow to be a Christian of substance and strength. And if you need, or rather, you need God's word to build you up, to be strong and resilient. If there's no God's word in your life, you will not stand in the days of the evil and trouble. In conclusion, in Ezekiel's graveyard, the Spirit begins to move, and God begins to inspire breath and life. Then death gives way to life. Defeat surrenders to victory, and history has to step back as destiny emerges. What valley do you stand in right now? What impossible situation do you find yourself in? What Red Sea are you facing in front of you? Or you feel that there is no way through or no way out? What drought has plagued your life? Hear the word of the Lord. God can make a way when there is no way. God can raise an army from a valley of dry bones. And God can break the drought. And God can resurrect the dead. And we need the wind of the Holy Spirit to bring life, power, and inspiration. And therefore, your miracle begins with a prophetic declaration. Speak the word of God. Speak the promises and the prophecy. Stand in the valley and speak to this dry bone. And we need God's word to silence the negative and hear the positive. Milk the doubt and speak the faith. Number two, it requires a yearning that the people come to know that Jesus is God and Lord. It is not about the miracle. It is about people coming to know that Jesus is God and Lord in those miracles. And number three, it includes a connection and construction. And so be part of a local church. Be connected to a church and be built upon God's word. May we all experience God's power and miracle in year 2018. Amen. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.